Amen, amen. Hey, church, before you take a seat, say hi to 3 or 5 people right now. Say hi to 3 or 5 people right now. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Say hi to 3 or 5 people right now, right now, right now. If you never seen them, say hello. Say top of the morning to ya. Say good afternoon. Say hi to one more person. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Hello. Say hi to another person. There we go. Give high fives. Tell them your social security. No, I'm joking. go ahead and be seated. Oh, well, good morning, Christ Church. How we feeling? Oh, that was awful. Good morning, Christ Church. There we go. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Oh, man, it is so inspiring being here with you. For those who may not know, my name is Javon. I get to be part of the staff here at Christ Church. It is a privilege to serve each and every one of you guys here. If you're new here, which I see a couple of unfamiliar faces, if you're new here, I want you to know if you're a person in need of Jesus, you're in the right place, all right? If you're a person longing and in need for God's grace and mercy, you are in the right place because we all need it. So I'm just so excited to serve you guys. You guys say hello to all of those watching online. Give it up for those watching online, our online family. Good to see you guys as well. Just got a couple announcements for you guys before we jump into our brand new sermon series that we are starting today. So if this is your first time hanging out with us, you are starting out with us on a great day because we have a brand new sermon series that we are going to be getting into in just a little bit. The first thing is, on August 24th, bring out thy phones right now. Go ahead and bring out thy phones. Go to your calendar app. Mark your calendar. We're going to be having a parking lot service here at our campus. We did it last year. It was a home run. But guess what? We're going to make it a home runner, I guess you can call it. But anyway, we're going to make it better. We're going to make it even more fun. We're going to be having an outside parking lot service, but we're going to be having baptisms outside as well. And oh, yes! Thank you, Johnny, the only Christian in the room. That's early. I haven't even gotten to my sermon. We're going to be doing baptisms on the 24th. So if you're interested in baptism or you know someone who is interested, make sure you sign on up because we're actually going to be laying out baptism classes. Our very own Pastor Theo is going to be doing those classes. You can sign up online if you would like to make sure you do reserve your spot and whatnot. So just so you can learn more about what baptism is, what baptism is not. But yes, we're going to be doing that on August 24th. Mark your calendar. It's going to be a fun day. I can't wait for you guys to be a part of it. Also, what's coming up, there's a few more announcements. Also, what's coming up is our annual Love Week that we do every single year. Love Week, it's just a great opportunity to partner with us as a church and serving our community and our church and our people in an awesome, awesome way. Every year, hundreds of our people and others come and gather and just put to work whatever is needed. For instance, coming up this year, we're going to be doing some of the food pantry that we do every single month. Can we give it up for those who serve in our food pantry ministry? Whether it's 98 degrees or whether if it's negative 10 degrees, they are out there serving people in an awesome way. So we're going to be doing the food distribution. We have some of the blanket tying that we're going to be doing. We're also going to be introducing something brand new here. We're going to be doing kind of a DIY within our campus, this campus right here, both inside and outside. So if you're like me and you're good with a hammer and a screw and a walk, shut up, and you're good with all that, and you're, yeah. No, I'm just joking. If you're someone who wants to get involved in that type of way, there is a sign-up sheet that we have out in the our Connection Center in our Main Street. Make sure you sign up and be a part of that. That is for our Love Week that's going to be starting next week. So make sure you guys get all signed up. Also, I want you guys to know next week, we're going to be talking about our pledge and committing towards the future that all that God is calling us into. If you're just joining us, we believe that God is taking us to new heights. God has been expanding and growing our church, growing our campus, new people, and new people means new opportunities. And we want to partner with God in this new season pun intended, new, in this new season about what it looks like to honor him and to glorify him by serving his people and serving his church in a wonderful way. You know, here at our church, we believe in the lifestyle of generosity. We believe that those who have been touched by the heart of the gospel, that what flows from the heart is a heart of generosity, right? God himself is a generous God. And for those who know him and follow him, generosity is meant to pour out of us. So next we're going to be making a commitment of what it looks like for us in generosity to partner with the church moving forward, whether that's financially or just in a ministry, whatever it may be. I can't wait to talk to you guys about it. So just be praying about what God is putting on your hearts as we move forward. All right, let's get to work, y'all. We are starting a brand new sermon series today in Psalm 130. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Psalm 130. We are starting a brand new series titled A Renewed Soul. I feel like this sermon series is timely. We're going to be starting a brand new sermon series called A Renewed Soul. I'm going to read all 8 verses. I'm not going to preach on all 8. I'm just going to do the first 2, but I do want to read all 8. Psalm 130, verses 1 through 8. Here we go. It goes like this. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my plea for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept track of my iniquities, then who, O Lord, could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness so that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. And in his word, I will put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than a watchman wait for the morning. Verse 7. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is loving devotion. And with him is redemption. His redemption is in abundance. And he will redeem Israel from all iniquity. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to your word so that we may feed on what you say. Jesus, you remind us you are the bread of life. And those who believe in you shall not hunger. And those who come to you shall not thirst. So Lord, we're coming to you hungry and thirsty. But we know that as we come to you, the expectation is that you will fill us with the bread that we need. You are the living bread, the true bread. You are the living water. And our souls, Lord, it needs this bread. It needs this water. So, Lord, would you, as we open up your word, would you open up our hearts too? Would you open up our hearts ready to receive this? And, Lord, any type of reservation or hesitation we have, Lord, we pray that your spirit would remove it and you would give us the spirit to receive all of your truth. Use your speaker today not to communicate some religious entertainment or a nice talk, but rather use all that is done today to move our hearts to be reminded, great is the Lord, who is greatly to be praised. Let us be worshipers today, Lord, not worriers. Let us be worshipers today, not controllers. Let us be worshipers today, not people who are pursuing perfection, but rather who are pursuing the very heart of the Almighty God. Speak to our circumstances, but more importantly, speak to our hearts. In your son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. As I said, we are starting a brand new sermon series. And like I said, this sermon series is timely because we're in July. And for maybe for a lot of us, or maybe I'm just speaking for myself. I mean, make sure that I don't put you out on Fun Street. Maybe I could put myself out. But for myself, it's already July, and I don't know how I'm going to make it to December, y'all, all right? It's just been that kind of year, am I right, for many of us, right? A lot of us, we can just We can just clearly say that we're in survival mode at this point. We're in survival mode. And so I feel like this series is timely to help us to end this year not just surviving, but thriving. Right? Not just for the sake of just getting through the year, but getting and enduring well through the year as well. So that's what this series is meant for us. We're going to be in it for 4 weeks. I'm pumped to talk about how our souls can be renewed. And when I think about this idea of the renewing of the soul, a couple weeks ago, my family, we all went to Cedar Point. My lovely wife and our two boys. So if you don't know, my two sons are introverts, and they don't cause it. Why are you laughing, Pastor? Right? Ain't nobody tell you to laugh, right? You know what I'm saying? Hey, relax back there, sir. You know, ushers, can we get him? You know, no, but my sons, they're introverts. They sit in the corner and read the Greek New Testament, and Logan does a Zoom call with them. You know, they don't do anything wrong. I'm completely lying, okay? You know, my boys are wild out of wild. They are 12 out of 10 wild. That's how crazy they are. So you might be saying to yourself, if they're so wild, why did you take him to Cedar Point? I was asking my wife the same thing. But anyway, we went there, you know, we get to Cedar Point, and of course, you know, on the way down, or those with kids, you ever had this moment as you're driving somewhere that they ask all the time, are we there yet? Right? Are we there yet? And then they ask again, are we there yet? And I'm like, bro, this is a Sunoco. Obviously, we're not at Cedar Point, my guy. Like, come on. Can you not tell the difference between a slide and a gas pump, my guy? You know, but anyway, I digress. So we finally get there, and you know, they see the water, the water park, the side where the water is, and they get pumped up, the slides and the, you know, the water, and I mean, just everything, ice cream, and right, and we were doing it all, right? We did the roller coasters. We played games. I dropped over $200. It was just bad. All right, it was just, right, and before you know it, we get back to the room. We were there for like 6 hours in 98-degree weather. There was one of those weeks where it was like 100 degrees every day. Feels like it's been in Ohio lately. And I get home, or we get back to the room, and I sit down. You ever sit down after a long day, and it feels like the weight just goes down? You ever just had that? The weight just goes down, and I can just say that That day was draining, right? It was a draining type of day. Or another way I can say it was very, very overwhelming. Sure, we made memories. Sure, nobody got hurt. Sure, we had fun. I spent a lot of money. But sure, all that was great. Took a lot of videos and pictures. I put them on Facebook and Instagram. Everybody like and see. Look how happy my family is. But my soul, my life, my energy, my mind, I just was overwhelmed. Now, when I think about this idea of draining and overwhelming, I believe that can best describe our lives lately, am I right? Sure, we're doing a lot. Sure, we're moving, but we're not very productive. We're making memories. We're going to cookouts, 4th of July, watching the fireworks. You know what I'm saying? We're working. Money's coming in. Things are pretty good. We're, you know, relationships being pretty fine. But at the end of the day, we find ourselves constantly overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. And it seems to be the theme. It seems to be the title of our story. Draining. Right? Draining to the point where anybody have a hard time focusing on the right things, if anything, good things, right? Draining and overwhelming to the point where you feel unmotivated, don't want to do anything, but you got to show up. I mean, these kids got to eat, you know what I'm saying? I got to show up. I got to make money, put money on the table, you know, put food on the table. I got to show up, right? Unmotivated, right? Anybody so overwhelmed to the point where they have a short fuse? Yeah, that struck a chord right there, right? You have emotional outbursts more than you would like. You always feel a sense of failure, right? And sometimes not only does our overwhelming, draining moments of life that seem to happen every single day, not only does it affect us emotionally and mentally, but it also affects us in our behaviorally, right? Right? How many of us, because of how overwhelmed we aren't getting enough sleep? Right? I didn't even know, like, there's, like, all these studies coming out saying the importance of sleep. Man, there was a time in my life where I was only getting 4 hours of sleep and trying to survive all 4 hours. I'm awake, but my soul is empty. I'm running on fumes. For many of us, we're running on fumes. For many of us, it's, you know, we're doing a lot, but we're not accomplishing much, right? And what do we need in those moments? Well, we need a sense of renewal. And so today, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about Psalm 130. And I believe Psalm 130 and the scriptures point to what we ultimately need when you and I are in the place of overwhelm, and how God offers us something better. God offers radical renewal and true restoration for those whose life is just overwhelming. For those whose life is just draining. For those who are just surviving at this point. God offers us something better, and this better is radical renewal and true restoration. And that's what Psalm 130, and that's what this series is meant to point to each and every one of us. Let's go ahead and look at Psalm 130, beginning at verse 1. Bring it up for them, M. Psalm 130, beginning at verse 1. Now, again, I'm only going to do two verses today. I'm going to break this down, right? Today is about being renewed by mercy, being renewed by the mercy of God. I love the way this psalm starts off. Now, if you don't know, those who are maybe new to the Bible, psalms are nothing but ancient prayers, right? They're ancient prayers. And these psalms were written by a collection of people. Most of the psalms were written by the guy by the name of, say it out loud, say it, David. Thank you very much. David, Solomon did write some too. Those who said Solomon did write some. But a majority of it is David. This psalm isn't particularly written by an individual. It's particularly written by individuals, particularly written by a group of people. This psalm in this latter half is called the Psalm of Ascents. This psalm would have been sung in the congregation in the temple among the Jewish people, right? There would have been a reading, and then there would have been a singing of this psalm. And I love the way this psalm starts off. It says this, out of the depths. Now, what really captured my eye was this word depths, right? Because in Hebrew, they use a lot of imagery to point to a great reality, right? In Hebrew culture and in their poetry, they would use imagery like depths, because you and I would never say, I'm just in the depths, right? But what this is doing, it's pointing to something that is happening. It's actually drawing meaning. Another way we could say depths is out of my despair. Or, because again, this is Hebrew writing, it's out of the place of overwhelm. As one is drowning from the sea. That's where it gets its meaning, right? Depths is meaning that as one where it's, one feels like it's drowning in the sea. You're not dying, but you are drowning. Doesn't that feel like life for some of us? Feels like we're just trying to keep our necks above the water. trying to get our breaths. But having a hard time. But that's what this imagery means. He says, out of the place where I feel like I'm drowning. What is this psalm doing? The psalm begins with an inward focus of the soul. And the psalmist says, because of this inward focus of the soul, there is something that he's doing with this despair or the overwhelm. And what does the psalmist do? He says it. He says, out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord, right? I cry to you. So what does he do with the overwhelming moments? The psalmist teaches us that when you and I, when life feels draining, right, we're meant to bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. Now, I find it very interesting. This is a very interesting point here. Because whenever you and I experience any type of discomfort, we retreat to something to give us comfort, don't we? Anytime we experience any instability, we run to something to give us stability. The culture may call this what we call escapism, right? Escapism. You're just trying to get away from the problem. You're not dealing with the problem. You're not dealing with the issue. You're just trying to distract your mind and your eyes from the very thing. For a lot of us, maybe your escapism, maybe the place that you escape to whenever you feel life's pressure and life's hard moments, maybe the place you escape to is your phone. Scrolling and scrolling. You're entertained, but you're not dealing with the very pain. You're distracted, but you're also missing development as well, too. Maybe for some of us, it's substance. For a lot of us, what happens is we have a long day, and what do we want to do? We want to take the edge off. Take the edge off. Let me just sit down. I got to take the edge off, right? I got to feel good because life doesn't feel good, so let me just sit down and let me take the edge off. Pour another drink. Let me smoke this. Let me do this. I got to take the edge off. It's helping me to escape reality, but it doesn't help me to deal with reality. Because at the end of the day, we all run to something whenever we're facing any type of discomfort. We all run to something, right? And at the depths of what this word despair means, it means, biblically, spiritual disorder, right? When you're in the place of despair, when you're in the place of where it feels overwhelmed, what's happening is your body is communicating to you there is disorder. There is disorder, not simply to be something that's moral or emotional, but it's more what we would call ontological, meaning dealing with the being, the core of who you are. There is a misalignment, and the self becomes spiritually disordered only because it refuses to accept its limits. It refuses to accept its nature. But more importantly, we feel this sense of despair because we refuse to accept our needs. We wake up every day and we just say, I got to muster up enough strength just to get through the day. And I'm going to operate off my strength. I'm going to operate off my knowledge. I'm going to operate off my self-assertion. I'm going to do all of this. And really what we're doing is that we're living off our own strength, a strength that is insufficient. As I said before, we went to Cedar Point. And, you guys remember, anybody remember the Geauga Lake days? Remember Geauga Lake? Y'all, my old, what all the old people at? Yeah, remember Geauga Lake? Y'all remember Geauga Lake? Remember the wave pool? Remember the wave pool, y'all? For those, you know, again, they have them at Cedar Point, but, you know, the wave pool, you know, every 5 minutes, the waves come and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, y'all remember when the waves would come, you just jump into it, you know what I'm saying? You just go chest first. It was so fun. Now, my 5 and my 3-year-old find the wave pool. And it was the most nerve-wracking thing ever for my wife and I. Because here they are in the wave pool, and they're deep in the wave pool. They're not like, you know, by like the edge or by, you know, they're deep. They are in the middle, right? And here they are. The waves are coming, right? And then they try to jump into the waves, and they just get a mouthful of water. It's just, you know, like, I told you not to do that. I told you. And then, right? And then I'm like, hey, maybe we should go do something else. No, I want to keep doing it. I want to stay. No, you need to go to Snoopy Land, and let's just stay at Snoopy Land. Let's just hang out here, okay? Riding little roller coasters. No, I want to keep facing the waves, right? And I notice for a lot of us, life kind of feels like we're being hit by a bunch of waves, right? Right? And we're trying to face the waves, but we just keep getting a mouthful of water. And we're choking, and we're drowning. And we keep going further, keep thinking we can do it on our own. and we're choking on the water and we're drowning even more, right? That's what this idea of depths, this is what he's trying to communicate to each and every one of us. See, you will find yourself in disorder. Listen to this. This is very important. You will find yourself in disorder when you are trying to create meaning apart from God. Because here's the thing, friends, and you're not going to like this. You're fragile. You are a finite being. You are not meant to carry the weight of existence on your own. You think you were, and you think you can, and you try to create meaning apart from God, but over time, things begin to unravel and exposure happens. Because if anything, our constant overwhelming moments are meant to point to our constant need for the Lord. That's all it is. It's a signal. It's a sign. It's not a signal or sign of failure. Sure, you might have moments where you failed, and because of your moments that you failed and you have despair and disorder and whatnot, but it's a sign. It's a sign that says you need the Lord. You can't face the waves on your own. You keep trying. You're thinking you can just muster your way through this, but you can't, right? But the psalm teaches us, how can we be cured from this order? How can we be cured from this disorder? And that is returning to the Lord. Returning to God. Because this cure of disorder is not through self-assertion. It is not through self-help. It is not through saying to yourself, I am enough. Because that will trick you and lie to you every day. It is not through productivity. It is through seeking the Lord. In your despair, you are not meant to say, man, how can I figure this out? But rather, you're meant to say, Lord, like we just sang, I need you. I need you. I need you. Because raising these kids stinks. It's hard. Right, Jess? Right, Sam? I'm looking at the ones with toddlers, right? Right? It's hard. And I heard they get easier as they become teenagers. Am I right about that? They get easier. Yeah, they get, yeah. Right? My marriage, it is so hard. We've been together for so long, and at this point, we're just existing. We're not actually loving each other. It's just so hard. My sickness. It beats up on my body every single day. It is so hard. The very divorce, it's just so hard. God says that despair, friends, seek me. And Jesus actually gives us the greatest model of this. See, what happens in the garden, as we see in the Gospels, if you read the Gospels, theologians would call it the second garden. The first garden is where our parents, Adam and Eve, failed miserably. Sin entered into the world. Sin affected all of creation. Sin affected us morally, spiritually. It separated us from God. But then there's the second garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus, in despair, not because Jesus does anything wrong, because he is without sin. But Jesus finds himself in despair because he knows his hour is coming and the cross and crucifixion and betrayal is among him. And he is going to be sent into the hands of sinners. But what does he teach us? What does he do? He says, Father. In his despair, he returns to the Lord. And that's our hearts, friends. Jesus is our model for despair, how to face despairing moments, right? He is our model for how to persevere in those moments day in and day out. And then I love how the psalm continues. The psalm continues. He says, out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. So what am I doing with my despair? I'm not just sitting in my despair. I'm not just complaining about my despair. I'm not posting on social media how hard life is. But rather, I'm doing something with this. I'm bringing it to the Lord out of my despair, out of the overwhelming moments. I am running to the Lord because the Lord returns me to sanity. The Lord returns me to peace. The Lord does all this. And then he says this, very interesting. He says, O Lord, verse 2, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my plea for mercy. Now, I want to kind of help you understand what this passage doesn't mean and what it does mean. See, there are so many times within the scriptures where we call a pleading prayer, a prayer of pleading. Now, when he says, I cry to you, be attentive to my plea, hear my voice, what the psalmist is not doing, he's not trying to wake God up as if God is sleeping. It's not like God took a power nap for that hour and that's the reason why you're in trouble, right? He's not trying to do any of that. But rather, this is what we would call an expression of humble faith. He has come to terms of their inability, and they are now longing and seeking God's ability, and it is a focused prayer. It is a focus. I want any distractions. I'm crying to you. I'm eliminating all of the distractions, and I'm coming straight towards you, Lord, and I want you to hear my prayer. Now, here's the thing about prayer, friends. Prayer is essential to the Christian life. It's essential to the Christian life. I always tell people, a Christian who doesn't pray is like someone who takes their car out for a race without fuel. Makes no sense. Doesn't work. Right? Right? And he's saying, God, hear my cry. Hear my prayer. And here's the thing, friends, about prayer. We're not heard because of our many words. Our Father in heaven doesn't sit back and say, oh, I'll help you if you just say the right things. Our Father in heaven doesn't say, oh, until you kind of get your life together, then I'll listen to you. That's not the God that we serve. This is not the God that we look to. See, in the ancient Near East, in this time where the psalm is written, there were pagan gods, I would say, pagan gods that were unapproachable, that were unspeakable. But this God, the God of Israel, who was now the God of all, who has been seen as the God of all, he is someone who knows and hears your cry. He knows and he hears your cry, friends. I need you to hear that. I need you to know that, because what happens is you come to God and you give him your despair, and then you find yourself still in it, and then you say to yourself, well, maybe I didn't pray the right way. Maybe I didn't do enough hocus pocus. Maybe the next time I should do a flip. Maybe I should do something else just to get God's attention. No, friends, your words, your very words that come from your mouth enter into the heart of your Father, and he knows your distresses. And this is the relief from our despair, the assurance that God hears and knows how hard it's been. That's your assurance that you need, friends, right? And Jesus actually teaches us something very interesting about God's knowledge and God's involvement. Do you remember on the Sermon on the Mount? Everybody remembers the Sermon on the Mount, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, right? Everybody remembers the Beatitudes, you know, an eye for an eye. But everybody's favorite part in the Sermon on the Mount, of course, happens to be the part where Jesus talks about anxiety. Remember that part? Do not worry. Do not worry. Everybody loves that one. And I get it. It's beautiful. What Jesus says is amazing. But there's something in there that Jesus says that actually, I believe, connects to this idea about how we can know God is attentive to our very despair. Remember when Jesus says, as the grass is God so clothes the grass, which is here today and gone tomorrow. What is Jesus doing there? See, what Jesus is teaching us, that God is who is intimately involved in the care of creation. In the care of creation. Meaning this, God, all that we see that is happening around us, the physical, it's not God setting the settings on autopilot. God doesn't have the settings on autopilot. The sun rose this morning, God made it rise. He made it rise. out of his command, out of his wisdom. He is actively involved, not just sitting back saying, oh, it's already set on the settings and it just does what it's supposed to. No, God is actively and intimately involved in creation. And if he is involved in the details in those matters, isn't he involved in the details of your own affairs? It's not like God is so powerful that he can only do this. No, he is so powerful that he can also do that. The one who made sure that the sun was supposed to do what it's supposed to do today. The one who will make sure that the stars are revealed and they come and they do what they're supposed to do today out of his wisdom and out of his care. Even Jesus himself says, the hairs on your head are numbered. The details of creation, how it all points to a creator, reminds us that God is in the details of your own very life. There's not one detail that is missed. There's not one detail that is missed in creation, nor detail that is missed in his creatures as well. As I told you, when we went to Cedar Point, my last time bringing it up, I promise. So we get, you know, we're there, and, you know, it's about 4 o'clock, and I'm like, all right, they're getting tired. They haven't had any naps, so we should be wrapping up soon. No, we didn't. We went back to the wave pool for the fourth time. I'm thinking to myself, they on something. Like, this is crazy. Like, did they have caffeine when I didn't see it? Like, what is going on? Did they have one of my pre-workouts? What is going on? Like, they should be tired. So we go back to the wave pool. And, you know, of course, my 5-year-old is doing the same thing. Out in the middle, fighting the waves. Punching them now. Kicking them. Get up. Right? Did it about 3 or 4 times. And I finally got to the point, you know, you're getting so frustrated with your kid, you just have to get on their level. Why do you keep doing this? Why do you keep going after these waves? You know, you're like, you know, this, like, what's going to happen? Like, why? And he looks at me and he says, because I know you're next to me. I'm facing these waves. Yeah, I'm gonna drown. I'm gonna go under. I'm gonna swallow a bunch of water. But I know there's a hand. I know there's someone who will pull me out. And I'm gonna face these waves again and again. But I'm not facing them alone. Yeah, I'm gonna go under. Yeah, I'm gonna be overwhelmed. Yeah, I'm gonna lash out again. Yeah, I'm going to give my kids attitude and my family attitude. Yeah, I'm going to pout and scream. Yeah, I'm just going to be passive aggressive. But there's somebody not just helping me to survive, but to thrive through these waves. And this is the faith God wants to give us. That's how involved he is in your life. You're not going to drown. Why? He'll make sure you don't. Isaiah 43. God tells Israel, when you go through the waters, you will not drown. You will not drown. Why? Not because you're so strong and you can face the waves, but because I'm the one facing it for you. I'm the one facing it with you. And that's this idea. That's this imagery. And then the way that the psalm ends, before we close, the way the psalm ends, he talks about how we can be renewed by mercy. Look at what he says in this, the second part of verse 2. He says, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my plea for mercy. The mercy of God, it is fully restored when we return back to God. What we need in life is to be reminded of this great mercy God wants to give us. Because here's the thing about God's mercy. God's mercy doesn't just pardon us from sin, but it pours life into what is dying. It pours life into what is thirsty. pours life into what is hungry. And friends, what we need most to be relieved of our despair is the mercy of God. And I love the mercy of God, because here's the thing about mercy. You ready? No one is too good that they don't need mercy, but also no one is too bad that they can't receive mercy. No one is so good that they don't need the mercy of God, but also no one is too broken that they can't receive the mercy of God. And it's the mercy that liberates us from the very despairs of life, from the very despairs of our everyday existence. And that's what it is. Mercy. Listen to this, friends. The mercy of God, you know who it's for? It's for those who are falling apart. That's who it's for. It's for those who are falling apart. It's for those who are drowning, who are trying to keep their head above the water. For those who are drowning. So I want to give you three things before we close about how we can find renewal this week. Number one, God gives grace to the humble. I wish I could take credit for that, but I can't. The Apostle James and Apostle Peter says this. He says, they originally say that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Why do I say that? Well, here's the one way we could find God's mercy, and it's through humility. It's when we come to God and we just say, I don't have the answers. I'm drowning. I'm not doing that well at life. I'm not killing it when it comes to being a parent. I'm not killing it when it comes to being a father. I'm not killing it when it comes to being a husband. I'm not doing so well. And God says, I can do a lot with that. Right? I don't need your perfection. I don't need the areas where you got up every morning to read your Bible. No, what I need is the areas that you feel despair, because where you are weak, then I am made strong. God gives grace to the humble. What we need to do is the response is, Lord, I don't have enough. I just don't have enough. Number two, God is both your ultimate blessing and the blesser. God is both your ultimate blessing and the blesser. Because the goal of life, friends, isn't to be despair-free, but it's meant to be forever present with your God, who is the ultimate goal of life. And number three, the gospel relieves us from despair. Here's why the gospel is so important. See, the gospel doesn't eliminate despair. It helps reshape how we understand despair. It doesn't eliminate despair and we'll never go through it, but rather it reshapes our understanding of it. It reshapes our understanding of it. And that's what the resurrection of Christ is meant to be. God doesn't want your days to be spent with you constantly overwhelmed, with you constantly at war, with you constantly at tension, with you constantly overwhelmed. God does not want your days to be spent like that. Christ's death was too good for you to live in such a way where you're not living from that goodness. His death was way too good. His death was way too final. His death was way too rich for us not to live from those riches. And this is where the gospel comes in and reshapes everything when it comes to life and life itself. And this is how we find the path through despair. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great reminder that your mercy is made new every morning. That your mercy is made new every morning. And that, Lord, what I need most is not for you to eliminate all my struggles, but rather you to renew my soul. And so, Lord, I pray that today our response would be, Lord, I come to you. I'm a mess. I've tried to create purpose in life apart from you, but I failed at that time and time again. I think my way through these struggles is just my way, my understanding, my so-called truth. But Lord, I'm drowning. But even though I'm drowning, your mercy still meets me. Even though I've grown way too comfortable with trying to control and manipulate my own way, I come humbly to you and say, Lord, have your way. Be the God of my despair. Be the God that leads me to the path of peace. Relieve me from the very things that I'm creating in my life. So, Lord, help me. Would you bless us? Would you strengthen us? As in your Son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen.